All right. Thank you for, what do you call this, beating our spiritual self. But sometimes we concern about our physical body. We beat them 3 times a day. And it's good to be here, repeating our spiritual self. I mean, you know, our spiritual being. It should also be nourished, at least concerning our physical bodies. And thank you for that. All right. So it's been a series of our lessons, actually. I hope you're not bored or not. You're learning something. Well, I'm learning something. So we kind of continue the, you know, the lessons, you know, messages that we've been studying is the characteristics of a godly love. And we've been following Romans 12, actually. Right? Today we will be reading, we will be concentrating on two verses. We'll be concentrating on 13 and 14. And then we'll finish up next week to study 15 and 16, to the following verses, I guess. Okay, let me read to you the following verses. I'm reading an NLT version of the Bible. It says, when God's people are indeed, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. As a review, we've been reading chapter 12 of Romans, right? It says about love. It says over here, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. Not superficial, not hypocritical. Something like, you know, actors. Remember? We study about actors. They're just acting. And they can say, they can act that they are just loving you. But deep inside, they're not really loving. God don't want us to act, to love like actors or actresses. Or hypocrites, something like that. And it says over here, love each other with genuine affection and take delight honoring them. You know, we honor each one like we honor, like God honors us. You know, in the world today, let me repeat my statement last time, we honor those people that done something to be honored. We give example, right? You are in a honor society. They give you honor because you did something. But when God loves us, we didn't do any honorable thing, actually. But instead of putting us down, God honors us by dying on the cross for us. So when we present genuine love, we honor them, even if they don't do anything spectacular. Of anything beyond what we see. That's what God did for us. So we honor people because God honored them. And then never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Now when we're doing this, it's like, remember the term that I use is like boiling hot. We do this enthusiastically. It's like a boiling water ready to burst. That's how we do and serve others and serve the Lord. We do it enthusiastically. We go to church because we are enthusiastic. We sing songs because we love to sing those songs for God. You know? And we love our brothers enthusiastically because we are boiling hot for them. And today we will study about, you know, another character of God's love that God wanted us to understand and to show. Okay? When is verse 13, when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. So God's love is ready to be a part, ready to be shared, ready to contribute. Meaning to say, God's love is generous. God's love is generous. Okay? Remember what Paul was, what the Bible is saying? You know, when Paul was saying, if we are to be generous, we have to decide to give something that is part of us. Because there's a saying, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. So if we decide on ourselves to love our brothers, we have to give something. A lot of things when we say that, it always boils down to money. But that's not all. When we become generous, when we decide for ourselves to be generous, it doesn't involve money, you know, most of the time. It can also involve time. It can also involve our energy. It can also involve our presence. You know, it doesn't mean money every time. You know, it means time. You have to give time. You have to give your presence. You're there. You know, a lot of people are waiting for somebody to be there. They don't want anything like, you know, material things. They don't want any those things that people say that they need, like, let's say, new clothes, you know, jewelry or something. They just want to be there. They just want to be there to show their love for them. So if you decide to love, you have to make a decision to yourself and ourselves to be there. God's love is generous. God's love is generous. It should be it's like this actually. If we are generous, a lot of times we have to ask questions sometimes. But sometimes it's only a cliche, something like, oh, how are we doing today? And we expect that people will say, I'm okay. Right? How are you doing today? Example, our fellowship, how are you doing today? How are you today? A lot of us, including me, expect the answer will be, I'm okay. But if we hear something like, oh, I'm not okay, I'm terrible, and then we stop. I don't want to hear that. But if we are God's people, we are to be generous. We are to be involved. We have to find out. We have to be interested, you know, in someone's need. Because if you're not interested at all, if we are not interested to know someone or a person that we say, how are you today? We don't be there. We're not there. So we have to have an interest with someone. It seeks to share whatever he or she has with other. Right? Galatians 6:10, it says, especially in the household of God. Meaning to say, our family. Meaning to say, our brothers and sisters in God. You know, we should know what is happening around them. We should be interested. Let me get my point through in a sense that a lot of us are hurting. A lot of us are in pain. And the pain is true. It's not superficial. Losing a loved one, you know, it's not a superficial thing. And having someone sick is a true thing. And having somebody, a broken family, you know, is real. It's real. You know, it's real. The pain is true. And we have to be there. When we say we got love, we love God, we have to be interested in them. God's love is generous, and we have to be there. We have to find out how's everything in their life. It's not just money, I told you earlier. It could be time. It could be our energy. It could be our presence to show our love to them. Second one is God's love is hospitable. You know, the Greek word on this verse is philosino. Philo, or the root word is phileo, actually. It's brotherly love, right? This term. And sino means strangers. You know? Because sometimes we only love those people that we know. Especially our family, especially if they're good ones. You know? Our family members, they give something to us, they call us, and we love them. And that's good. But the Bible is saying here are strangers. I understand it's not easy and it's dangerous now to love strangers. Right? But the Bible is teaching us why. Especially when we understand the context of the Jewish nations. You know, the Jewish nation were strangers on the land one day. You know the story of the Israelite nations, right? You know them. They were strangers in the land of Egypt. At first, they were treated good. They were give them, you know, their special treatment. The Pharaoh knows them and they give them preferences. You know, but the second, the third one, and the next one were not friendly to them. And they gave them hardships more than anyone can imagine. So sometimes when you're a stranger on the land, you're not comfortable. And sometimes people mistreat you. That's where Romans is saying to us, be hospitable. Be hospitable. Not only the people that you know, but also through strangers. Not only the family that you love, that the people that sometimes don't show love or respond to you well. I know when we decide to love somebody, we open ourselves to things that sometimes we don't expect to happen. What are those things? Maybe betrayal? People will betray us? Maybe disappointment when we love others, right? You know? And maybe pain and hurt if we love others, we become open to something that we don't expect. In this context, God's love, God is hurting because we are hurting. Sometimes when we hurt, it's not necessarily that we are hurting, but sometimes the person that we love is hurting. That's why we hurt too. And God's love is like that. When God saw His creation in a big mess, He was hurting. He was hurting when He saw me. And He saw you in a big mess. Right? We're in a big mess. That's why God's love, even though, you know, He can do something about not he can do something like ignoring us, or, you know, that's what you get because you're disobeying me. But God's love is, you know, he was there. He showed his love for us. So that's why he died on the cross for you and for me. That's why God's love is hospitable. We are in need, so God was there. And the last one is, godly love is gracious. Godly love is gracious. Okay? We know it's grace, right? Unmerited favor from God. Let me read all those verses that we have read. Okay. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray for them. God will bless them. Do you have a person in your life that always persecutes you? Yeah. And always there, like nagging. You know? She won't, or he won't stop. He's just there to, you know, to annoy me. And sometimes he becomes a thorn on the flesh. All right, I'm using good words here. He or she become an annoyance to us. He continue persecuting, saying things negative about you. You know, something that will hurt you, something that will, you know, put you down. And God said, be gracious to them. What do you think a persecutor deserves? Huh? What do you think? He deserves punishment, right? Anything that you can thought in your, that you can put in your mind, that guy deserves this. You know? We can think of the most nastiest and the most biggest punishment on that guy, on that lady, or that person that always there nagging you, saying negative things about you. And the Bible said, don't curse them, bless them. You know, sometimes cursing is like, you don't just burst into words. You know, sometimes cursing is only on your mind. Guilty? I'm guilty. Let me give you a good example. You know, I work in an Alzheimer's unit. And I heard a lot of times, you know, this is true. This guy or this fellow was so good before. You can even hear him cursing or saying things. Now he's like this. Every word that comes out of his mouth is a bad word. You know, when you have very inflicted of Alzheimer's, something on your brain controls what you say, or whatever comes out of your mouth. when you have Alzheimer's, that thing, control, will not be there anymore. So that's why people say something that sometimes you don't hear them saying when they were still have the control. You know? And we think a lot of things, you know? We think of negative things. When people cut you off when you were driving, what do you think? We don't say the word, but we think of something, you know? We think of something. Somebody did something for you in a negative way. We didn't say anything, but we think of something. I know for sure that guy deserved, the one that persecuted you, deserves something.
But the Bible said, don't curse them. The Bible said, pray for them. That's why I told you, God's love is gracious. Gracious. You know, unmerited favor. Unmerited. Just like we do. What do we deserve? We deserve punishment. We deserve hell. But God's grace, not only the He canceled the punishment of hell on each one of us, but He also gave us eternal life. That's grace. Let me give you a story about grace. Because we have to understand the essence of grace. You know? Let me give you a story about the woman at the well. One time, Jesus and His apostles were, you know, on His ministry, right? So Jesus sent them to the town, the city, to buy food because they were hungry. But Jesus never went. He stayed at the well waiting for them. So what happened is, upon the well, He met this lady, the Samaritan woman. And Jesus said, give me a drink. And the woman said, wow, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. Why are you asking me for something? We don't talk. And Jesus said, if you only knew me, I'll give you water that you'll not be thirsty. And the woman said, give me the water. And Christ said, where is your husband? And the woman said, I have no husband. And Jesus said, yes, I know, you got 5 husbands. And the one you are with you today is not your husband. And the Samaritan woman said, oh, you are a prophet. I know our forefather said that He will send us a prophet and the Messiah. And Jesus said, I am the Messiah. And you know why? When the Samaritan woman went back to Samaria, a lot of people believed Jesus Christ. Now, let me go back to the context of grace. Context of grace is this. Jesus, who was the teacher, he supposedly should meet the mayor of Samaria. One thing like that's been accomplishment. People who has something that, you know, well known on the community. But instead, he met the woman of the well. What is the standing of the woman of the well? He was cursed to the Samaritans. People don't want to associate them. People are gossiping about her. And the ladies in town were saying, I think he would have another husband the following week. He was not a good standing. But God, Jesus, remember this, He announced that He was the Messiah with a person that the Jewish people are rejecting. That's the first time He announced that He was the Messiah. In front of a person that don't deserve anything according to human standards. She was a sinful lady. She had so many husbands. She was a curse to her community. And yet Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. That is grace. That is grace. That is grace. This lady deserved nothing at all. Not even a tap with a teacher. But Christ waited for her. See that? That's grace. A lot of us don't deserve anything. Most of us. Christ died for us. If you only knew me, maybe when I was a teenager, all of you will think, oh, this guy is nothing. I think he will end up maybe in prison, or maybe he'll die early. But Christ waited for me. He waited for me. And right in time, I met my God. And he changed me because of his grace. Apostle Paul was a murderer. And you would say, maybe when we met Apostle Paul, when he was killing Christian, oh, this guy is a terrorist. He deserved punishment. And God waited for him. That is grace. That is grace. And God's love is gracious. I want you to understand. God's grace. God's love is gracious. We don't deserve this thing. Unmerited favor from God. Unmerited favor. He loves me in spite of my weakness. He died for me in spite of me. Like this. Right? God said, don't persecute them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Because God's love is gracious. Alright? I know these things that I'm telling you it's hard. I know it's hard. I myself, when I read this, it's not easy. But God is there to show us the way. God's grace is beyond. If we will just understand the doctrine of grace more than what people teach us, it will actually, this is not our license to go back to sin over and over again. In fact, if we will just understand how God loves us, it will motivate us to do more things for God in our life. Not this. Not because we wanted to be saved, but doing these things, loving people, sharing our blessings, be there whenever in need, and be generous of what we have right now to other people. It will motivate us to do more, because God has done so much for us, overflowing. More than we can. Because love is gracious. We have a invitation song. I know we're in a situation, I know my brother, we have a lot of issues in life. You want to be praying with. Praying for Brother Joe, who's in the hospital. They took him out of the ICU already. He's in a regular room. We pray for his family. And you want to be prayed, or if anybody here wants to come in the front, and we can offer a prayer for you. And we invite you to come. Because God, there's a song, God is there, right? He's there. He's always staying. God stay. A song, God stay. He doesn't run away from you. When everybody, runs away from you, God will run towards you. And he's proving it over and over again. Let's have our invitations.